Hello, my friends, it's Andy and Hedy coming to you live from Yorba
Yes.
Linda, California. What happened?
So dark.
Well, it's going to take a little while to get used to the lighting. I got to fix. We have a new camera.
Yes.
Did I say this is Andy and Hedy from Yorba Linda,
I
California?
don't know. I'm not sure.
For the Living Fearless Devotional. I feel like we look
We're like 3D.
like those podcasts, like
Right?
professional podcasts.
Oh no, are we a professional podcast? That's scary.
We could be. Let us know what you think. It's a little bit darker, so maybe we'll have to, kick up the lighting in some
And there's
areas.
a lot of shadows.
Yes, that's on
So,
purpose. Yes.
really, like, so that you can make like
Maybe not this
some
one.
bunny ears.
Maybe not this one right here. This one might be a little too much.
Yeah.
You guys let us know what you think. Yeah, I think this one needs to be fixed. I was going to set up another light, but I didn't have a chance. I ran out of time. But we're getting there. Come on, folks. Let us know what you think should be done to improve our thing. But it looks like we look like some of
Do we?
those real professional podcasters.
I'm gonna text the ladies now, let them know what
Okay,
I'm
making
because I
sure.
think you're shadow banned. I never see your posts. So I wouldn't be surprised if nobody knows.
Yeah, people that tell me that all the time. Like, hey, where'd you go? I thought you got off of Facebook. Really? Have you seen?
That's impossible.
All right, so here we are for Resurrect Ministry.
We are here
Dot
for
com.
resurrectministry.com, harnessing the power of the internet, sharing the gospel. Everywhere we can. We are so excited to share these resources with you to expand your walk with Christ, deepen your relationship, know him and experience him in a whole new way. He'll meet you where you are, whether it's books or previous articles or past podcast episodes, pastors you may never have heard of, worship bands you may want to listen to. We have quite a bit of content on there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we do.
So drop us a line, let us know what you think, and we'd love to get your comments, your critique, even we even say that I'm a little bit thin skinned, but Andy's pretty tough. And if you care to partner with us, you can always click the donate now button.
Yes, make sure you comment. Let us know what you think about AW's devotional, what comes to mind when we are reading it, and how does the Holy Spirit move in you through his words? That would be great to know.
I feel like we're off-centered a little bit too.
What?
Yeah, there you go.
That's me leaning.
Yeah, just try not to do that. There you go.
Let us know if you have any prayer requests. Put those right in the comments if you're watching
Yes.
live. And even if you are watching the replay on one of the social medias like Facebook or YouTube, where we can see the comment, if there's a prayer that you want us to include, either just in our daily prayers for ourselves. Maybe on the next show. So just put those in there. And then scroll down and check out our sponsors, one of those being LifeWise. They're great supplemental products that some of them you just open it up, it's a little stamp you put in your mouth that dissolves and it hits the receptors on the roof of your mouth and under your tongue. And they are fantastic. I took Dream last night because I forgot to put it next to the bed for the last couple nights. Out like a light, slept through the night. I was so happy.
Nice.
So yeah, try Dream. You'll really love it. And then there is the Restore, which is for inflammation. I have this bad knee that causes me some grief. They're no longer in this container. That's the only thing that I'm not really happy about. I'd rather have them in this container.
So what are they now?
They're in like a little cardboard book.
Oh, like the
And
other ones?
yeah, and, or a cardboard box, and then you slide out the bubble
Oh, that's
and you
funny.
pop them out.
Your other company used to buy stuff from the Happy Company.
Yeah.
They went back and forth between them. Now they're in bottles.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think because people like to be able to transport them. I
Yeah.
think that's the struggle between foil bubbles and bottles.
Not only can you use the products, but you can join me in the business. And you
There you
would
go.
definitely benefit from that. Excuse me, I got the hiccups all of a sudden. And then StreamYard. Use StreamYard to tell people about your passion, whatever that might be. Ours happens to be doing this devotional.
Yes.
But if you have a hobby that you want to share, teach people how to collect stamps.
Better than sewing.
Yeah, but who collects stamps?
Who could
I
You know
think I
what?
have a stamp collection somewhere.
You're actually stuck in a time warp. I think that's what it is. Because your point of references are so old.
What?
They're like from the 70s.
No, but I know people that do needlepoint today.
Other than
Yeah.
your ex-wife?
Yes, I bet you there's listeners that do needlepoint. You watch. They're going to be so offended by you
Oh.
saying that nobody, that it's old. These people are young that are watching us. And today's Bible verse is John.
Wait, first of all, I didn't say that the audience was
you
old.
Just did that.
I just said your references are from the 70s that people nowadays don't do needlepoint. I didn't say only old people do needlepoint.
That's not what I heard.
People nowadays don't do needlepoint. Maybe
if
some
they do, and then
do.
You said if they do, they're super old. That's what I heard you say.
He's lying. I did not.
In your Bibles, go to John 3. 30 through 31. John 3, 30 through 30. Oh, wait a minute. Is it John 3? No. Sorry about that. Matthew.
Matthew.
That's from yesterday's show or the other day's show. Let me get rid of that so I don't make that same mistake. There we go. Sorry about that, folks. You can go to John and check that out. But also for our show, you're going to want to go to Matthew 26, 36 through 42. Be prepared for that. All right. So now we're reading from A.W. Tozier. For the Christian leader, it's April 1st. Did you do an April Fool's today? You guys tried to pull an April Fool's
we
on me.
We did. I'm so annoyed that you caught on so quickly.
Come on.
But what gave it away was that I wasn't the one that called.
Yeah, they were with you. So my daughter, one of my daughters texted me. Hedia was out with two of our daughters out shopping.
Yes.
And then one of them texted me and said, Dad, in all caps with exclamation points, Zara and I have been arrested for shoplifting and since Hedy is not my mom, she can't get me out of custody, something along those lines.
Yes.
And I look at it like this and I looked at Red. I go, look at Ray's trying to claim that she got arrested for shoplifting at Sephora.
I would have called you and been like, okay, we got trouble here.
Yeah.
Would you have believed it?
I would have been more likely to go,
okay.
But I already had done my April 1st joke on Facebook and Instagram. So I was well aware of what day it was.
Oh.
So it didn't work. But she really tried. Yeah, then she called with a worried voice. And what do I hear in the background? Hedia laughing. So it didn't work too well.
No.
Have you guys like April Fool's jokes? I love them. I've been doing them for years.
He loves them. Yeah. Me, not a big fan. Not a big fan. The worst part I hated is when the kids would mess up the salt shakers and put salt in the sugar.
Oh yeah.
And the sugar and the salt and all that other.
Or screw the lid off so that it was barely on, and then it would all go in your. Oh yeah. Especially nowadays when a meal costs you $45.
Right.
You don't want to pour a whole.
And our oven's so hard to get heated.
Yes. All right. Let's get to the devotional here.
Yes.
So April 1st. The title is The First Lesson to Learn. Matthew 26, 41 is the reference. This says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. Almost anything associated with the ministry may be learned with an average amount of intelligent application. It is not hard to preach or manage church affairs or pay a social call. Weddings and funerals may be conducted smoothly with a little help from Emily Post and the minister's manual. Sermon making can be learned easily as shoemaking, introduction, conclusion, and all. And so with the whole work of the ministry as it is carried on in the average church day. But prayer, that is another matter. There, Mrs. Post is helpless, and the minister's manual can offer no assistance. There, the lonely man of God must wrestle it out alone, sometimes in fastings and tears, in weariness untold. There, every man must be an original, for true prayer cannot be imitated, nor can it be learned from someone else.
Lord, I don't want to just learn about the importance of prayer. I pray that your spirit might change me, that I might become more and more genuinely a man of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
You know what I really like about this past group of sermons, lessons that he's teaching is he's really trying to impress upon us the importance of not taking oration, being an orator, as impressive. So in other words, he's saying anybody can string together words, and include a couple Bible verses and just be a great speaker. Don't be impressed by that. Don't be impressed either by his ability to do that, his ability to fill a room because he does that, or how many people continue to attend as a result of him being a good orator. And he gives us these signs of all these other things we need to look for: a good character, how he conducts his life. In this one, is he a man of prayer? Holiness. It's really such a timeless message.
Yep.
Right? That we shouldn't be so easily fooled by fancy words and even spiritual words. I mean, it's really an important point that it's not difficult for somebody to copy the words from the Bible and say it powerfully. That doesn't mean that you're spirit filled. Right. That just means you can read well. Right? So.
It reminds me so much of Pastor Francis Chan's message from the other day that you shared with me about where he used to be.
Yes.
And where he hopes he is now. And that meaning that in the past, he was all about entertainment and how funny was my joke. Did I have as many laughs as the previous pastor? Especially if he's like in an event where there's multiple pastors. Yeah, how many comments? And now he wants to just share the word and make sure that he's doing honor to God. Amen. And that he reads the Bible. He talked about, I forget what pastor he was talking about that he learned from, but it was about, are you reading the word? Are you so busy telling your stories and trying to make people laugh?
My sermon is so long.
And trying to get your church filled because you're so entertaining. But are you, with the people that are in there, are you telling them about Jesus Christ and how powerful?
And reading
the power messages and reading the word.
Yeah.
The gospel. It really reminded me of that. It always seems timely that we see things that correlate with what we're reading in these devotionals.
Yes.
The power of reading the Bible has really helped me. And so if I can go to something I've talked about a lot lately, and that is reading the Bible every day, which I never did before. I was a heathen. I was a heathen Christian where I was walking around the church and going and listening to the messages and thinking I was saved. But now the power of reading the Bible has helped me be more engaged as a Christian man. And what I mean by that is today I walked into the gym. And as I was closing my locker, I closed my locker and there was a guy on the other side of the door. And he goes, "Oh, you're a believer." I go, "Yes, of course I am. I got my Jesus is risen. I got my cross, you know, all my stuff."
Your trinkets?
My trinkets. And again, I just want to explain to you, I wear these to remind me that I need these things. That's how much I'm into my flesh and into my old man continues. I fight him off with the cross.
Right. Yeah. Like
everybody thinks I'm trying to, you know, what is it? Virtue signal or trying to do something. I know I have to see this in the mirror when I look at it. I have to, when I'm heads down, I got to see it waving to remind me, dude, you're a Christian. Stop thinking that. Don't say that, you know, in your mind about that other person. So the man that I've never seen before. He goes, "You're a believer." I said, "Yeah." He goes, how was your Resurrection Sunday?" I goes, "Fantastic." And how about you? Where do you go to church? And he says, "I go to church here." And I say, "I go to church there." And nice. We have this whole conversation. And there's this more of I feel more worthy than I did before. I know this happens to be better in prayer, but that also is part of it, feeling more comfortable in prayer.
Absolutely.
We sit here and get on the show before the show starts and we elbow each other like whose turn it is to pray. Before the show, and then at meals we pray, but it's almost like I feel like it's an honor to be able to pray now.
Amen.
Where before it used to be a worry. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense.
Anytime somebody said, "Hey, can you pray?" I would worry, like, "Oh no, am I going to sound stupid? Do I know those right little pithy phrases that people say?" Which I can't think of them right now. All the Christianese, you know what they are. And I can never come up with any of them. So I just say what comes to my heart. But it used to be so my heart would pound. But now it's like, it's an honor. Like, oh, yes, I'm grateful that I have this opportunity to speak to God.
That's awesome. Now.
And so it feels so much better. So in that moment where this man said, you're a believer, it was like, yes, yes, you must be too, because you recognize it so quickly. The door closing, you're a believer. Like it was that fast. Like he must have seen me walk around somewhere else because it was so quickly. Like he couldn't wait to say, so you're a believer. Like,
did you have your clothes on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This morning, sometimes I go to the gym in my street clothes and sometimes I go in my workout clothes. Today I went in my workout clothes. So he didn't get this. No.
Just making sure, because I think it's kind of awkward if people start a conversation when you have no clothes on.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, because there's this little corner you have to go around to get to the shower. And I take a shower at the gym. And so.
You don't wrap yourself in a towel as you're walking over to the shower?
No, why bother? Because it's only like 5 feet.
But get this, with the cleaning lady's a woman.
The cleaning lady is a woman that's in there. But but men don't talk to each other when they're
do not shower at the gym for these reasons.
I think it's funny is that we don't talk to each other when we're in that condition. We just walk past each other.
Thank God.
And look at the
scene. With your nanny nanny. You walk around. Oh my God. I'm sorry, folks. This is TMI, but I just find it such a strange habit.
In Jesus' time, you hear in the Bible, they're walking around with no clothes on. Like they
go actually used to go to those Roman baths, but I don't know if Christians did that where they were all, I don't know.
So now you made me forget where I was. It's just the comfort level.
Yeah.
Of being honored. I'm just honored to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit that He dwells inside me. Like, I just feel so happy and giddy today with everything. And it was just really good. I think that that's what maybe the pastors sometimes are just not anointed or something, because we've seen this.
What are we talking about?
Well, we go back to the pastors. Okay. What AW is talking about is that it's all about, I'm just going to read a book on how to give speeches. And then what I'll do is I'll plug some religious references in there. And then people will give me money and I'll grow the church. That seems like kind of like what they did. Yeah. Some of them
following a business model. Yeah,
sorry. I mean, that was a really long, I spent a lot of time on the mic. You go ahead.
Let's say hello to our friends.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello, we have Kelly on today. We have Kate. Hello there, Iris. She loves Restore. She's a little annoyed with the box.
Yes.
The switch over to the box. It may come back. The pill, the bottle may come back.
Yeah, she's annoyed with the bubble pack, but yeah.
Hi, Jan. And yeah, the bubble pack. And Kate has no comment about the needlepoint. We'll leave that one alone. Jan said, did you see the rocket launch at 7:30?
I saw it, but not at 7:30. Somebody had filmed it, one of my friends here that live in Hill Belinda, and I got to see it.
Heathen Christian, Corinne, I think gets a giggle out of that. And Kelly, it's always nice to meet other Christians when we're out. Yes.
Yes, I used to be kind of afraid. A little nervous.
Well, you know.
I thought they were going to ask me questions like.
And it's not just that, it's shame. That's the conviction.
Oh, that's good.
That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit being like, you're not living right. And now this guy is going to be like, hey, I heard you speaking at that breakfast. And you're like, oh, man. It's shame. You know?
You could put a dagger right where you are correct, though.
Because now you're like, I'm not guilty of any of that anymore. No. So you're just
the old man was.
Yeah.
I can blame. Yeah. I hate it when the kids put blame on somebody else. That just drives me crazy. You too. Right. When you call them on something, they go, well, no, I'm talking to you.
Right.
But this is like kind of like, that was the old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't be calling me out. New creation.
But when you live right, also, you're just kind of, you just have so much more confidence in your walk with the Lord that it makes you that much happier to share. And that's why they call us to holiness and righteousness, to right living, so that when you're called on, it doesn't matter if you haven't memorized half the Bible, you have a witness. Your witness speaks for itself. Mm. How you conduct your life, you know?
So good.
So true.
Okay. What is, speaking of scripture. What does Matt have to say?
So here we're in this passage of scripture is from the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Lord Jesus goes up with his two disciples. And so then the verse 36 starts with, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not keep watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed and said, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful passage of scripture about just how weak the flesh can be, because here were his most loving disciples and he wanted them to stay awake. He wanted them to be vigilant. And they couldn't, right? We're just, even in the most perilous of times, left to our own devices, we fall short.
Mm-hmm. You know, they should have known better than to lay down. You tell me that every night.
Yes.
You say, yeah, I'll lay my head on the pillow when we're watching a movie, and you'll say, don't do that. You're going to fall asleep.
And lo and behold.
And I lay my head down anyway. Yeah.
Head on the pillow means sleep.
Yeah. And then you say, could you not just stay awake? And I said, I tried.
I wish it was that important.
But when I sit up, you know, sit up in the bed watching TV, then I stay awake. So they should have just sat up, stood there. The moment they lay down and put their head on the log,
it was over.
They should have known they were going to fall asleep.
Right? Sorry, Zara's texting me.
What?
Yes.
What? I guess it's pretty straightforward what the lesson is. But do you think there is anything else that we need to know or learn from or take away from this that little passage? I'm going to go over there and pray. I'm going to take the two Zebedees with me. You guys stay awake. Do you think there's anything else there?
Oh, there's tons. But of course, with my brain fog right now, so much of it has left my brain. But anybody listening, have some of the interpretations in the commentary that you've heard about these verses, please comment and remind us. But they were, it just entered my head when we were reading it earlier. It just totally left my brain. But there are subtle references in here about what the Lord was telling them about the frailty of our flesh when not empowered by the Spirit. But also that this in particular, where he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So if we were to take that sentence by itself, you say to yourself that the Lord's admonishing them that if you are not vigilant and praying, you could fall into temptation. And I think that lesson is for all of us in any circumstance, that if we're not prayerful people, which I think is why it's in this passage, it's in this devotional, is that if we're not vigilant and stay prayerful, we could fall into certain temptations. And actually, it's interesting because in the daily devotional Bible version that I am in, that is a common theme. We're in Luke and we're in Numbers about the importance of faithfulness. And so faithfulness to the Lord and the commands that he was giving to the Israelites, and how important faithfulness was for them, because were they not to be faithful, they also will fall into temptation. So if you don't follow my laws, if you are not faithful to the commands I've given you and the jobs and responsibilities I've given to you, then you will fall for temptations of all kinds. And temptations are not just, okay, so we're in
we're in, it's Proverbs, and it's the Proverbs about the young man going by the woman's, Proverbs 7, where he goes by the woman's house. Then came out a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face, she said, "Today I fulfilled my vows, and I have food for my fellowship offering at home. I came out to meet you, and look, I found you." And so what God is admonishing is that he went down. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading and as the dark of night was setting in. So what the Lord's also admonishing is, don't walk by it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be on that corner. Yes. And that's such also timeless advice for all of us, is to just stay far away.
I also think about the things that we see have been happening today. We often talk about the schools, but I always say that, you know, parents were asleep. And so what's happening in the schools is because we fell asleep. We felt we were supposed to be on guard.
Absolutely.
We're supposed to be protecting our own kids, not just accepting that other people would do the right thing.
Right.
Especially Christians.
Yes.
Same thing in our government. We just kept thinking, well, you know, they're just boisterous, you know, about things, and you know, the next president will take care of it and it won't be that big of a deal. And the next thing you know, it just gets worse and worse. It becomes a snowball effect of stuff because we fall asleep and don't pay attention and aren't
vigilant.
Same thing in churches.
Yeah, absolutely.
Vigilant.
Kelly says, she believes he didn't want to feel alone. That too. Yeah, and such a testament to his humanity as a difficult time as he was interacting with the Father, demonstrating his humanity. Oh, Father, take this cup from me, but thy will be done. Also, by demonstrating that humanity, he demonstrates to us that we can demonstrate that humanity to God too. And just be able to say to God, Lord, you're walking me through something that feels like hell. And nonetheless, I'm going to walk through it because I know that you're with me. But being able to be honest about how difficult it is, no matter what. And
hello.
Hi, Lisa. Good to see you too. So depending on how much more you have on the devotion, I wanted to pivot to a couple of topics.
Pivot.
I want to pivot to a couple of topics.
Oh my gosh, I love it when you pivot.
Do you?
I feel like I'm...
Can I take a sharp right turn?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So professionally, you know, my specialty was open source intelligence. So basically trying to understand what was radicalizing terrorists, trends, global trends, local trends, but so much of it was based on being able to process lots of information and draw conclusions from it, right? Yeah. So as a Christian now, I still feel that skill comes up constantly, especially as I was writing for the Christian Post and now working on the book. And I want to share this experience with you guys because I want, I think it's so important to always demonstrate the humility of, especially for believers, that the Lord puts people in your life, especially in the family of God, for a reason. And not to dismiss things that they say out of hand just because you don't understand them or you don't agree with them, but to have the humility to take it in and be like, you know what, I'm going to file that one away for a time that may be a little bit more relevant to me, you know? So a friend of mine, who's been a seasoned saint much longer than me, it was a new friend, said to me, Hedy, I want you to be careful of being lumped in with the Christian nationalists. Now, mind you, that was the most bizarre comment, honestly, that I'd ever heard. I was like, I'm brown. So I don't know how I'm going to be like thought of as a Klansman. So, I mean, like, it was really so far out of my thought process that I just didn't understand it. But I know she's in the family of God. I know she has wisdom. And so I literally took it and I just filed it away. And I was just, you know, I'm just going to file this away because I believe that the Lord sends messages to all kinds of people for all kinds of reasons. And then Oh my goodness, this has been a theme constantly now, right? Our pastor's going through it because he's being accused of being a Christian nationalist. And now this whole fight between Ben Shapiro and portions of the right, and which is coming up against the, what they're lumping together seems to be Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, which they're saying is lumped on another section of the right, like fractioning of the conservative movement. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, no wonder God doesn't want us to be part of political parties, because our Christianity, our allegiance to the Lord doesn't fit in any of these boxes.
Right.
Because when I listen to them and their commentary on both, like the two sides, we actually don't fall into either one. Because the Candace Tucker side, even though they're Christians and believers and they're in our family, their rationale of the isolationism and we never go to war and we don't help and we have to be America first and we think of America only and is not biblical. You know, we have to lay our life down for the brother. So it's just the whole, that whole concept and not supporting Israel is absolutely not biblical. And then you go to the other side, which is
crazy.
Yes. Like, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. But our party, the whole conservative movement is splintering. Mm. And if you take it in light of, I know a lot of you watching are students of Pastor Jack Hibbs. If you listen to it in light of all the things that Pastor Jack said, like he went on Saturday, he's like, the world's falling apart and our country is under wrath and we're all going to die. It was really quite dramatic, but I see why he feels that way, because I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, as the Lord said about Israel. And if America, the last straw, I think, is for it to lift its hand off of Israel, is if America stops supporting Israel, I think spiritually we'd be in a lot of trouble. And it looks like, and it is something I never in a million years, if I had to predict the conservative movement going this direction, I couldn't predict it. Mm. But this is historically what happens. This is a precursor to the persecution of Jews. It's happened throughout the centuries, is that people start to get angry at a certain perspective that they associate to the Jewish community. And then they start to say, we want nothing to do with that. And so there's this rising sentiment that the brutality against the Palestinians is unjustified, that we can't give a blank check to Israel, all of these things that were historically not a position that the United States has taken, but is now associated with a nationalist movement and thereby a Christian nationalist movement. Because she claims Christ, we claim Christ, and people are like, uh-oh, you Christians, crazy. You know what I mean? You're like, see all those things they ever said about us that we're all hidden Klansmen. We've all got a hood in the closet is suddenly coming out. And this is what they're claiming.
That's not.
This is, well, I mean, it's pretty bad. You listen to people that you, you listen to some commenters and it's pretty bad.
Yeah, man, I'm not listening to the same ones.
So. Yeah, no. You have to listen to it. You have to listen to the side that is coming out. And the only way you really can get, you get that perspective, I guess, for your algorithm to come up is to keep searching for Candace. Because when you keep searching for Candace, then you keep seeing the people that are supporting her. Yes. And when you listen to the people that are supporting her, it's starting to sound very anti-Semitic. And then the more that sounds that way, then there's Ben Shapiro and David Rubin who are fighting the other direction. And then these two sides are becoming progressively more polarized, and it's not pretty. That's my two cents.
Where's Charlie Kirk falling? I haven't listened to Charlie Kirk in a long time.
I have not either. Mm. So I suspect he's kind of part of
that group.
I suspect he's very, he's conflicted.
I may have.
Because he's very close to Candace.
And very close to Jack Hibbs.
Yes. So I'd be curious. Oh, Kate's saying she couldn't agree more.
It's awesome.
Yay. I don't know. But as a counterterrorism expert, watching this is disturbing. It really is, because I think it is not helpful to Israel, who we owe an allegiance to because God told us to. That's part of God's promises to his people. We are grafted into his chosen people. We are now the fact that they are not all messianic Jews, that they have not all accepted the Messiah is not our business. God will rectify that in his New Jerusalem. That's his that reckoning that he had that will take place is in God's timing, and he's guaranteed that to happen. But he doesn't break his promises to his chosen people. If he breaks his promises to them, he breaks them to us.
You know, Kelly makes a good point here. I'll bring it up in a second. But, you know, COVID during that election, the 2020 election, was the thing that it was the.
Yes.
The thing. There's another word I'm looking for that they were able to use to take over an election, to say people, hey, you can't leave. You need to mail in your ballots. That you have to, we're going to make these boxes that you have to deliver them to. And some of the cameras worked, some of the cameras didn't work, and all this, all right. Kinds of, so they caused as much chaos as possible so that things could happen. And the social medias were banning Republicans from speaking, a whole bunch of stuff. And then
Catalyst.
Thank you.
I didn't say it, Iris did.
Oh, Catalyst. Thank you, Iris. Thank you. This year is what Kelly's talking about here, is that election year is not a good time for the party to be so fractured. And that the way you fracture it is kind of like what's happening in our school districts. It's the same thing, is that you have these voices of the progressive movement, in the progressive movement, far left, that just throw it. They're just throwing attacks like a virus. Like in the school district, they're saying hundreds of teachers are being fired in our school district.
That is okay. Wait, this is not that.
Yeah, they're causing confusion. They're,
no, our party is confusing itself.
Well,
this, we have nobody to blame. Literally, NBC is not covering this fight at all. They're like, let them rip each other apart. We don't need to do anything.
But it comes from Democrats that are Jews, Democrats that are liberals that are
Ben creating, Shapiro like, is far left.
No, but it's they are bringing in the fight about Israel and the Palestinians and that kind of stuff. That all is being brought out, and they're saying go protest in the streets.
Why is Candace listening to the far left's version of the Palestinian struggle? You tell me that. Why would she be listening to that?
I don't know, but she is.
Right.
It's part, so all part of the greater confusion of things. You can if you cause this much chaos, you will get Republicans that buy into it. I put a post up today. I said, I don't understand any Christian who would vote Democrat. It's never made any sense to me.
But that's my point, is that how are you willing to listen to that? Have you read your Bible?
Exactly.
And then you turn around and you say, Christ is king. Like, please don't bring Jesus into your mess that you don't understand the Bible.
Yeah, but you had Christians that followed BLM. You had Christians that followed
MCP. But she's not just that kind of Christian.
But somehow they got to her. And not she probably doesn't even realize it. This is, you got some people who they see something and they go, you know what? I actually kind of agree with that. And then they just reel them in. The devil. It's not necessarily just people. It's the evils of the progressive movement. The devil is in the progressive movement.
Yes, but.
The devil is the lead progressive.
I know, but you cannot. You cannot blame stupidity on the part of some conservatives on the progressives. I won't do it. They have to have personal culpability. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Christians that vote Democrat are stupid.
But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about far right. Well, the space that is getting fractured is the far right. This is not people near the edge. This is not people near the middle.
All right. I'll have to think of a better argument.
It's called not reading your Bible. It's
true. But it's all in the devil. The devil's in the details, as I made that up.
Candace believes Israel's an occupier. I know. Like, hello, read your freaking Bible. I don't understand.
Charlie Kirk knows the history. He knows. He should be talking to her.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know what he's saying to her.
Oh, look at Alicia reading.
Oh, okay. Alicia reading. Hi. Jan French, my apologies for coming under your comment. I don't comment, but the ringing in my ear won't stop. When I saw your comment and went through your page, I had to pass the message of our ancestors, as they wanted you to have this message from your picture. I see you are a loving person who had always been backwards to help anyone, be it friends or family, but you feel like you're running in circles, 4 steps forward and 5 steps back. Oh. Okay, I have no idea what that is. That was.
Sorry, Jan.
Sorry, Jan.
It looked like it was going somewhere.
Yeah. Kate said, I forget who said, no Jew, no you. You can't be a believer and not stand with the Jews. Amen. Yeah, amen. Jesus was Jewish, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, and what really blows my mind is people that come to the defense of Candace Owens say, what stupid Christians believe that an Israel created by the Rothschilds dynasty is the Israel of God. And it was like, it just blows my mind that they can't parcel out political people from the reestablishment of the state that God predicted 3,000 years ago. So when God prophesied that this nation will be created in a day, he didn't say there was going to be a righteous person standing on top of it. In fact, he says that they'll be corrupt until he brings them back. And you know what I mean? Until he sets it all right, they'll be departing from his word constantly. But people are just, so it goes back to replacement theology. It goes back to the core of the struggle inside the church, not understanding God's word and the great falling away and all of those other things that the great teachers, the modern day teachers of the Bible are warning us about, is unfolding before our eyes.
That's what happens when you don't teach the Bible in church.
It's what happens when you don't teach the Bible in church.
AW is so right.
Yes.
A decade ago. Not a decade. 100 years ago, whatever that was. Wasn't it like 1920s? Right?
Kathy says, yes, it goes back to replacement theology.
That's a conspiracy theory, Karen. Kathy. Or Kathy. Sorry. I just called her a Karen. You're not a Karen, Kathy.
She's one of the K's. The 4 K's, not the 3.
Yes. I wonder what this Alicia reading is.
I don't know.
What's that all about? What kind of nonsense is that? That's a lot to type.
And Jan says, what a mess.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah, it says, also BLM, Andy, and they are blown in the wind now. They need division in their political toolbox.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Kate says, love your truth, passion, Eddie. Thank you, Kate.
You know, you don't have to live with it.
Look who's talking.
I'm just kidding.
I hear about your school board shenanigans 24/7. Yes.
Every day there's something new.
Yeah. Well, you're really passionate about that. I'm passionate about God's word. I'm passionate about the reputation of Christians in this country. And actually, if any of you are my Facebook friends, I found somebody from my past has found me on Facebook, and I'm actually really excited to get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah. I saw that dude.
Did you?
He wears his hat like this. This is how he wears his hat.
Sup,
bro. You know what I love about
me,
about you in your how God has shaped you over the years that I've known you.
Over the years you've known me, okay.
Yes, is that he's really softened your funny bone.
Yes, for sure.
Oh my gosh.
It was either that or die. I don't think we would have lasted 2 minutes if I didn't develop a funny bone.
It is so good.
Did I tell a joke just now?
Life is so good. No, I said a joke that 3 years ago, you might have ran out that door. I would have been like, oh, there she goes again. I must have said something. I mean, there's things that I would say. I mean, it's so in me to have a smart ass remark.
Yes.
It's just part of who I am.
But you got so much better.
Yeah, I've gotten better, but every so often one will slip out. it just falls out. And it was like, there was times I'd say, I go, I have no idea why you're mad at me right now. That makes no sense. And I thought that I knew what I did. I had no idea what I did. But then
typical male.
You started telling me about, you know, when you say that to your kids or something like that, you know, they don't like that. I go, yes, they do. They laugh. And then I go, no, that hurts my feelings when you say that. I go, why didn't you ever tell me that hurt your feelings? I thought it was being funny.
Funny at everybody else's expense.
Leandra, who is the president of the school board, her and I were doing an interview the other day, and we just had a chuckle that, you know, people just don't understand our sense of humor.
Right.
Because it is really bad. I mean, if you knew how cops talk to each other, you would like go, oh my gosh, that is horrible that you say that to one another.
Right.
Like for months, they just called me the Mexican. They would just go, hey, Mexican, go stop that car. Or, hey, Mexican, are you on?
Were you literally the only Mexican?
No, but they just, it was because I didn't look Mexican, but I had a Mexican last name and I didn't speak Spanish. It was funny they called me the Mexican because it was the Mexican last name or the Spanish last name. They just thought it was hilarious to call me the Mexican.
Oh, goodness.
And then later it became the Nutlicker because of me having a dog. Yeah, that was my other name. After the Mexican was Nutlicker. Because my dogs, you know what dogs do. And so that's the reference to a dog.
I can't believe you just said that. On the air, memorialized forever. Excuse him. He's a work in progress.
It was a sergeant.
And Kate thinks, oh my gosh, is bad. Look at you hear what he just
said.
That's
what dogs do. And so the dogs are just, they lay there and that's what they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an art. Learning to live with someone who has a sense of humor like Andy and my husband. And you know who else, Iris? Jan. Jan's husband also has a sense of humor. The gift of gab, Andy.
Yes, that's a gift. Is that a gift from God? The gift of gab?
I don't know. I don't know. Lisa says we are grafted into the same branch as the Jewish people. We are obligated to be lovers of his chosen people. Amen. Absolutely.
Just as
honestly,
much as...
Lisa, you have to read the Bible to know that, you know, or you have to be part of a church that teaches the proper Bible. And it's so worrisome that there are so many prominent people in our community that are ignorant. And it's very detrimental to our movement as a whole. It makes us look bad. It makes us look bad. And Jan says, yeah, see, so true about Jim.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Andy. He has the same sense of humor. Gab is in gabble.
Yeah. Gabble.
As in
gabble, gabble, babble. Gabble, gabble, babble and gabble.
Is it like gabble, gabble, gabble? It's Irish malarkey.
Yes. I got a little Irish in me too. Hey, yeah. Yes. Why didn't they call me the leprechaun? Why did they have to call me the Mexican? I have as much Irish in me as I have Mexican.
Right? To be the short little guy they call the leprechaun.
Oh my gosh. I'm so offended.
I don't know how to get rid of that visual now of you as the leprechaun. Oh my goodness.
On my birthday in my office every year, this is before you knew me, I'd always wear a kilt on my birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, I need to bring that kilt back.
Yeah.
And then you'll really see the leprechaun in me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I didn't want to bring it up because it was just such nonsense. And that is the thing about the trans
National
Day or whatever they call it again.
Transgender Visibility Day.
Visibility Day. You know, there's like 100 and something days dedicated in the calendar to gays. You know that? Like it's gay month.
The one day that belongs to us, yeah, they had to ruin.
That's the point. We were just talking about
two days. We get two days.
Is that they here comes this day and they said, When are we gonna have trans?
It's bad enough they put buddies. It's bad enough that we have the buddies and the eggs that make have nothing to do with resurrection. But now they have to add the trannies to it.
Now we have tranny bunnies. that is again just a sign of the confusion that they enjoy. You know, there's a part of me that I wish we wouldn't talk about it. I wish we wouldn't have said anything about it and just ignored it. They really got.
But you know what?
We were talking about.
I think it's important for Christians to know they did that.
See, I go back and forth on this all day long, but in my head, because it's like we go back to a dog training reference. Dogs, funny enough, like children, no matter what kind of attention is, negative or positive attention, they just want attention.
Right.
And so if it's negative attention, they don't care. They got your attention and you spent time yelling at them.
Like kids.
And it's perfectly fine. And they go, they wag their tails just the same. They just can't tell that, you know, that it's negative attention necessarily. That's how I feel that these progressives, like, oh, look how much they're talking about us.
Mm.
You know, on Easter, you know, every conversation involves us. And there's that negative attention that they're
definitely don't want every conversation to be about them.
Yeah, but it's just like every church was talking about it, every newspaper, every Steve Bannon, Dan Bongino, to everybody was talking about it. Yeah. And so there's that, like, oh man, if there's a way, but if there's going to be a way of getting some of the fence walkers Christians,
right,
that may have been the thing that did it. I hope so too. But that's the only thing I wanted to say about it. It was just such lunacy. Now that they were pretending, apparently, that, oh, we didn't know. We didn't realize it fell on the same day. Dipwads. Sorry, is that a bad word? Dipwad?
I don't even know what that means. Golly gee. It's right up there with golly gee.
I wonder if anybody else says that. Maybe I did make that up. I don't even know anymore.
Oh, interesting. Did you know the definition of gift of gab is the ability to speak easily and confidently in a way that makes people want to listen and believe you? I think you have that.
Oh.
I have a little bit of that too. But I think you do too.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes if you just want to, you know, have the answer to a question, you just say it proudly as if you actually know what you're talking about.
When me and Andy, occasionally, a blue moon, would argue about something, he does that to me. The game, and look at him. I was like, you may have been able to get away with that before with some of the stupid women you've been with, but you're not getting away with that with me. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He uses his dog trainer voice with some strong words. I was like, I don't know what that was you just did, but no, it's not going to work with me. And you would see him kind of be like, okay. It would set you back on your heels a little.
Yeah, go ahead a bit. Everybody until now believed everything I said.
Yeah. Exactly. I love you.
How dare you? Oh, my gosh. All right. Anything else? We didn't get any prayer requests today.
I think we need to land this plane.
We need to land this plane. It's getting late.
I hope you all enjoyed a wonderful Easter. Yeah. We had a great Easter. We had We had our kids, the food, the oven cooked the food this time because it hasn't the past three holidays. It was
Easter egg hunt.
We had an Easter egg hunt, Andy's brilliant Easter egg hunt. We had our friend Jason visiting, watching our Easter egg hunt. He was very impressed with your mad dad skills. It was just awesome.
Eggs. The golden eggs.
Yeah, the golden eggs fight. The kids like beating each other up to make it to the golden eggs. And it's so funny because I listened to a couple of other parents and saw a couple of Facebook posts. And apparently that was the vibe this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Everybody had hid the eggs better than they usually do. Mm. They're doing it for their teenagers. And their teenagers are like beating each other up to get to the eggs.
Really?
Yes.
Where have they been? We've been doing this for years.
Right?
We're just catching up to us. But yeah, what a day it was. So yeah, we Friday, Good Friday, we're at Calvary Chapel East Anaheim.
Gorgeous.
An amazing
gorgeous
message, of worship. It was mostly worship.
Yes.
And a great message. And then the nailing of our notes onto the cross. I thought that was fantastic.
I suddenly got nervous that they're going to read them all. Mm. You think they're going to read them all? Because I was hoping the point was they wouldn't read them. Because my name's kind of distinctive.
They said they're going to burn them.
Okay.
But you may get a call from Becky, the pastor's wife, saying,
that was a little risque, your little note you put on there.
Oh, she knows. What did you put? Now I got to know. I saw you writing away. It's a little tiny piece of paper, and you were using you used both sides.
I did not.
Oh, my God.
Just one
I've
side.
I've never seen somebody write so much on a little tiny piece of paper.
That was nailed to the cross. It was like, what do you want to nail to the cross?
That was great. Yep.
Kate had lamb roast and pavlova and lots of Easter eggs.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, Jan has a brain MRI scan with contrast. Oh, praying for that, Jan.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do it.
Dear Lord, thank you for your grace upon our lives. Thank you for the sacrifice of your one and only begotten Son to make us in right standing with you, that we may become children of God. It is the most precious gift we ever will have that we never deserved and did not earn. And we ask that you send that same amount of grace and love to those of our family members who do not yet know you or who are far from you, Lord. We are just hoping and praying and believing in your promises that they would come to saving faith as well. We also lift up Jan to you, that this MRI she has with of her brain is clear and shows and demonstrates to her once again, that she is well, that she is whole, and she is restored, Lord. So we're asking for your divine hand in the results of that scan. And we ask for well-being and restoration for all of our friends that are suffering from illnesses or difficulties, Lord, whether it be financial, emotional, familial, mend broken hearts, Lord, as only you know how. Heal those that are lonely and comfort them in their times of need, Lord. And we ask for peace in Israel, Lord. We ask for the fighting to stop. We ask for them, most of all, both sides, Lord, to come to saving faith in your Son. That is really the only way that peace can be had, Lord, and that we await your Son's return where justice will be restored. We love you. We honor you with all that we have and all that we do. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we ask all things. Amen.
Amen. All right, my friends. Everybody's praying for Jan.
Lisa says, never call a woman Karen unless that's her actual name.
Hey, Dale, sorry about that.
So true.
Kathy Karen.
That's a delayed reaction on Lisa's part.
Yeah. It might not have been. Sometimes it takes a while to get for some reason. All right, my friends. We love you guys.
God
bless.
Bye.